guys. You are listening to the Anti-Marketing Podcast. Today, I have Val with me as my co-host.
Say hello.
And we are going to chat with Doug from Sly Clyde.
Hi, Misty. Thanks for saving the day.
Hi. I do that sometimes. So, Doug, you own a company that makes arguably the best cider around. I would argue that. Yes, as would Val. As people who drink your cider on a regular basis.
Yes. Not that there are tankards of cider in front of us currently.
No, there's not. There's sadly caffeine in all forms. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about today. Tell me how it started. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me why you were like, hey, and I know part of this, so part of the reasons Val is here is because I know part of it. Mm-hmm. Tell me how it happened.
Yeah, so my brother and I guess about 5 years ago now, we're sitting around and we had some property that's been in the family for more than 100 years down in Phoebus, which is in Hampton, Virginia, mm-hmm. of course. And we were really thinking what we were going to do with this property. The house was falling down. It happened to be the house that my great-grandfather lived in, my grandfather lived in. And Tim, actually, the co-founder of Sly Clyde, my brother, he had lived in there for a few months as well at one point. Well, as with many things in Phoebus, it had gotten to the point where there was actually quite a bit of work that needed to be done on the house, and Phoebus has always kind of struggled. It's a long history we can go into about Phoebus. It's fascinating, though. There used to be more than 53 saloons in that little community of Phoebus. So, yes,
awesome.
We're in the historical right to be there. So we knew that we needed to either plow down the historical home of my grandfather, or we needed to do something with it. And so we put our heads together. We thought about a lot of different stuff, including breweries and things, and in the end, we landed on cider. I like to tell people that my brother really wanted a bar. He liked to watch Cheers growing up, and he wanted to be, you know, kind of come in the bar and be known, Tim. And I was really interested in community development, and I haven't lived in Hampton Roads for 30 years, but my brother certainly has been here for years and years and years because he runs a company in Hampton as well. And we just said, let's invest in Phoebus. Let's see what we can do to bring this community back. And I'm happy to say it's really worked. Phoebus is raging. It's fun. It's quirky. But it's a new place to be in Hampton Roads. And so if folks haven't been there yet, you probably should check it out.
One of the things that I love about coming to visit you and like going and seeing that space is, so Val and I are both from Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. And so crossing the bridge, you've got to have a really good reason to cross the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel.
And a visa and a passport. Yes.
Correct. Yeah. And a lot of time to sit in traffic sometimes. But one of the things that I love about it is there's nowhere like it. When you go down the street that you guys are on, mm-hmm. I can't like link it to, oh well, it's, you know, I could just go here and it would be like, it's not like that. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere is different. You can feel the history because it's so close to Fort Monroe. So tell me then, why cider?
Yeah, why cider? Well, I mean, first of all, you know, my brother and I, we make no bones about it. We love craft beverages. We love the idea of supporting local. And we really wanted something that wasn't overdone. I mean, this is the real challenge in the beer world, to be honest with you. You can make great beer and not make it any longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going into a craft brewery in the Hampton Roads area and they are making it, you can almost guarantee if they've been open more than 2 years, it's phenomenal beer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about someone like a New Realm that's come in, which is like kind of quasi-craft, their beer is phenomenal. And you know that because they're still around. It's really tough in the beer world. We were looking for something that, quite frankly, wasn't going to be such a challenge. We looked at a map. We're the only cidery east of Richmond.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, a huge deal. And so we decided we would open a cidery because no one thinks of a hard cider coming from the coast. We'd build this coastal brand around it. And what we really wanted to do was to use this as a focal point to bring the community together. And it's this crazy amalgam mashup of people who come to Sly Clyde every weekend and often during the week as well. And it's really exceeded our expectations. We're making fantastic cider. We are bringing in tons and tons of people who normally might not even connect with one another. And it's a low-stress, fun environment. And if we've done that, then we feel like we've been really successful.
It's true. So as a person who drinks cider, also beer, to be upfront, but as a person who drinks cider, I mean, we legitimately used to drive to Richmond to, you know, to find it. And much in the same way Misty was talking about us not crossing the bridge from Virginia Beach to do anything, like I had not really gone to Phoebus or Hampton for anything until you guys opened and a couple other places over there were around. So it is nice. I mean, it's nice that you saw something that was missing and filled it, even if it, you know, that was the reason.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
awesome. That's
it's like been a, it's been great to like no longer explain to people that we're the last bathroom stop before the tunnel. Right now we say Phoebus and people light up and they're like, oh my gosh, Phoebus, yes. Mm-hmm. And there's so much happening there. The baker's wife is this new French restaurant in Phoebus, which is fantastic. El Diablo's there, the dive bar. You know, the Simply Panache folks have got so much going on all the time with Mango Mango. And we've got a brand new brewery coming, 1865. And we're really, really excited about those guys opening up later in the year.
That's one of the things that I like about like seeing what you guys do is you don't just like make great cider. You make great cider and you like integrate with other people in the community, whether it's the food trucks, whether it's finding ways to get people involved in all of Phoebus and not just, hey, come see us. Hey, no, come see us and then go to Mango Mango and then go do whatever it is you're going to do. I think that's really special. And I think it's something that like a lot of entrepreneurs miss. What would you say from a success standpoint, what would you define success as, and are you successful?
Yeah, you know, I have to be honest with you. We're at the back end of a pandemic, a global pandemic. The fact that we're still open, you know, I'll mark that as success. Mm-hmm. The fact that we have been very fortunate to have so many loyal customers who come back again and again, and they bring their kids and their dogs and a pot-bellied pig, oddly enough, from time to time. I mean, these are all the marks of success, is people who come back and see you, people who show you grace when sometimes the ciders are a little weird and not maybe up to their standard. That's okay, too. We're trying stuff all the time. That's a mark of success. You know, our number one success is knowing that we are lifting up the entire community by presence and by investment. We are very fortunate. Obviously, if we've had this property in our family for more than 100 years, we've been around a long time. We have the opportunity to invest in a way that not many people, are able to. I mean, to be honest with you, when we went out to get loans from banks, we got to choose our bank.
That's cool.
Yeah. Not a lot of businesses choose their bank. They're waiting for a bank to choose them. And so we're just trying to use that opportunity to lift up the whole community. So, yeah, we've been really, really successful. You know, some of the marks of success, staying open.
It's a good one.
It's a big one. It's a big one. We get awards. We were recently named the most beloved cidery in Eastern Virginia. Which I think is nice, except I don't think there's that many of us, but we'll take it. But we also recently were named, we got gold medals for the best flavored cider in Virginia and the best cider in Virginia.
Which is cool.
It's fantastic. Yeah. There's a lot of great cider in Virginia. We don't do like the really kind of funky, you've got to have a sommelier next to you. We're talking about like the terroir of, Nelson County. We're making ciders that we want you to pick up and we want you to take to the beach.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what we do.
And,
yes.
And that's one of the marks of our success.
Uh-huh.
Is that people are feeling comfortable about where we are and they don't feel like they have to have an advanced degree to understand what they're drinking.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's I think one of the things that I like about it. You know, we get together every week and there are certain marks of things that are always there to drink, and Sly Clyde is one of them. Mm-hmm. You know how I feel about Channel Fear, which is not currently on tap.
That's because you drank it all.
I did. I picked up like the last of the cases, and they're mine now, and they're almost gone.
Yeah.
But it still shows up. You know, we can get it at the grocery store. Like you, so you go from getting, from having this house that was in your family, and making this place in downtown Phoebus. But the first time that I had it wasn't at your location. It was at a restaurant at the oceanfront in Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. How does that scale happen, right? Because you originally, you're like, we're just going to do something with this house. We're going to do something cool with this house. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into, you know, a can that I think looks super cool sitting in front of me at lunch one day.
Yeah, this is the business of the business, right? So what we're doing is we're creating ciders, award-winning ciders, a broad variety of ciders. If you come in, we usually have 10 ciders on tap. There's no way that you won't like four of them. There's no way that you will like 10 of them, right? You will find something that you like because we have a wide range. The business of the business is to not only keep that tap room going, and we can speak about how crazy the tap room has become because it has become much more of a focal point to the business than we had anticipated. And you have the opportunity as a business to distribute. And so you do self-distribute, you use a local distributor. We did a little bit of a hybrid. We were actually at one time distributing from Front Royal all the way down to the Outer Banks into the Richmond area and Ashland and doing a little bit in the Netherlands, oddly enough.
What?
Yeah, it's true. And what we realized is we were doing a lot of self-distribution there. The cider that you drank was actually being distributed on the south side by Hoffman. They're the big Anheuser-Busch distributor down here. There's another Anheuser-Busch distributor in the peninsula, and that's M. Price. And so we use them on the peninsula side, Hoffman on the south side. The reason we chose those big distribution houses rather than the smaller guys is we knew that we needed to lock down our local territory. So are we always going to go with the big distributors? No. I mean, we're just, you know, it's just Tim and I. We're just guys, right? We're just making cider, and suddenly this thing got out of hand and is big. So if you go down to the Outer Banks, we're distributing in the Outer Banks now, but it's through this, like, little guy. You know, he distributes cider when he's not duck hunting.
That's awesome.
That's perfect.
And it's fun, Atlantic. Yeah. And, you know, what we're doing is we're looking for people who can rep the brand, who we can work with, and who we think will secure us in territories without being overwhelmed. To be honest with you, we can barely make enough cider in the Hampton Roads to Richmond to Outer Banks area to even service it. And so at this stage, our biggest challenge is about scale, and it's about finding new ways to make more cider, which probably means an expansion of those facilities in the future.
That would be very cool, because I was in Charlottesville this weekend and was real sad that I couldn't have Sly Clyde there. And that was not, and it's not just like a thing, you know. I had to order another cider brand at dinner, and my husband looked at me and he was like, "That's not what you want." And I was like, "It's not what I want, but that's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine."
We used to be at about 9 places in Charlottesville, and when I used to live in Charlottesville. When I left Charlottesville, we were no longer self-distributing through the Virginia Wine Distribution Company, VWDC. When we moved out of Charlottesville, we essentially ceded that Charlottesville district. But, you know, that's okay. We'll get back to Charlottesville probably someday, but it's not as high a priority as it is hitting those coastal communities, right, hitting those beach communities. Fun fact, the Wegmans in Charlottesville, Virginia, typically sells more cider than any other Wegmans in the entire system.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Fun fact.
But also feels like appropriate given, like, the vibe that happens when you walk down the street in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So tell me about, just because of, like, the curiosity in me, how the flavors happen.
Well, we have fairies and leprechauns who come in. You know, so we're constantly trying new things. Some of those work and they don't make their way to cider, and some of those are amazing and they do, and some are hard to scale, quite frankly. So we're constantly trying new things all the time. And then we try to wrap some of these flavors around events. So, for instance, we've just launched Jam and Cider, which is our ode to all things Jamaica and reggae. And we did that for 420, of course. And so when we looked at that, we said, okay, well, what is an appropriate kind of Caribbean fruit that's unique? And we found soursop, Guanabana. Most people have never tasted that, and it's kind of weird looking. So we matched that with a little bit of hibiscus, so it's sour on the back end because it's called, you know. So it's been a huge success.
It's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And then, some in my fridge.
And then you have that problem, which is you come up with something for an event, and then all of a sudden you say, oh, geez, we're going to have to make that again.
Right.
You know? So sometimes it's event-based. Sometimes it's, hey, there's this kind of wacky fruit we want to try and use. And then sometimes we just kind of give carte blanche to the assistant cider maker and the cider maker and just say, you guys, you know, tear it up. Do whatever you think would be fun.
That's fun. I feel like one of the things that is really cool about how you guys market your business, and that's not, you know, or think about marketing it, is you do look forward to, all right, it's going to be 420. Let's make something cool for 420.
Yeah.
Where you can't be as reactionary because cider is a process.
Right.
It doesn't just appear.
Absolutely not. In fact, you're looking for those kind of cultural and calendar markers, mm-hmm. right? Like, so we're launching, this is super secret, I guess. We're launching a pineapple cider. I think it's May 6th.
Deep love of
me too.
Yeah, yeah. Pineapple's too much for me, but I know people love it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've got a pineapple cider. Yeah. It's called Pineapple Head. It'll be kind of fun.
I love
yes,
it.
Like it?
Yeah. Well, that comes in May, just in time for like hot weather.
Yeah.
Right?
You're never going to release the pineapple cider in November.
Good point.
Right?
Yep.
So you are looking for these kind of cultural and markers in the calendar and saying, okay, what can we back into that where it makes a lot of sense? Mm-hmm. So you might have like a more structured meteor. I know it's hard to think of that because it's a liquid, but a more structured, more tannic cider in the fall to winter.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have kind of lighter, crisper ciders for the spring and summer.
Right.
So there's a lot that goes into it. And we're just so fortunate to have Darren Ford, who's our who's our head cider maker now, and Ariel Chung, who many of your listeners will know, formerly at a couple of places unnamed in Virginia Beach, as our assistant cider maker. We're just so fortunate that they both have these science and food science backgrounds, and they really are taking us to a completely different level.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important for people to understand that, right? Like, you can say one day, yeah, we're going to start a cider thing. We're going to do it. We're going to make a cider brand. But there's so much that goes into it.
Right.
It's not just, it's like brew some cider in our basement. It's a lot more than that. And you see like a lot of these home brewers being like, I'm just going to start a brewery. I'm going to do whatever. And unless you've got that background of mm-hmm. business and scale and marketing and like the food, the true appropriate way to do things,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be successful. And so I think it's cool that you guys said, hey, let's start this, but also like let's start this
Correctly.
With a professional.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact, our first cider maker, Brent Miles, has won many awards. He actually started the Seattle Cider Company. He was living in Northern Ireland at the time, and we literally convinced him to move to Hampton, Virginia, sight unseen.
Uh-huh.
And what we said to him was like, you come, spend 18 months with us, help us build out a cidery and start kind of building some flavor profiles.
Mm-hmm.
If you had asked us back then in 2017, 2018, Submersive would have been like the most popular cider ever. And it's like Submersive is great and it's doing really, really well. But, you know, Inkjet eclipsed it almost immediately.
Uh-huh.
Well, where's the cider flavor come from? I think Brent's wife, Kaylee, said, hey, what do you think about blackberry and mint? You know, and sometimes it's that creative process. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just happen. Neither Tim or I were really bold enough to think that we could be cider makers. Tim is the smarter one of the two of us. He always has been. He has taken classes in cider. He knows a lot more about the chemistry of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm more of the marketing side.
Mm-hmm.
And from the very beginning, we knew we needed to bring people in who really knew what they were doing, which is mm-hmm. why we're so happy to have Ariel and Darren.
Yeah. Well, I think that part is really cool. I think if you haven't been to Sly Clyde, you can see, like, when you walk in, the crowd is, like you said, the crowd is completely different. You've found such an interesting way to appeal to so mm-hmm. many people. I was there on 420, and the people there were just, you know, you have the waka. I'm doing the motions like people can see.
Yeah, it's cornhole.
Cornhole.
It's
like,
cornhole.
The word cornhole wasn't coming to me. So you had, like, them doing cornhole, and then you had families like at picnic tables with their kids and
mm-hmm.
so many dogs, which was great. It's just very it's encouraging to see that it's not just, hey, we're gonna appeal to this one group and one group
mm-hmm.
only.
Mm-hmm.
You found such an interesting way to appeal to everyone, where I think a lot of people pigeonhole their brands and say
mm-hmm.
I want that 20 to 35 crowd, or mm-hmm. you know, 21 to 35 crowd, or I want the people who like just this, and somehow you guys have taken this brand and made it a scalable brand and made
right.
it something that has the potential to be so much bigger than it already is, and it's already big. Is
yep.
it overwhelming?
It is overwhelming. it is overwhelming at times, and you do feel like you're juggling. I mean, on a busy Saturday, for instance, you have three different customers, and they kind of come in. So you have the family and dog, and they're coming out because they've just finished baseball for the day, and they're hitting a food truck at 12:30, mm-hmm. and they're going to stay until like 3:30. Mm-hmm. And then you've got like the 3:30 folks who are kind of pre-gaming it, and they're coming in, and they're there for the food truck, and maybe they'll pick up some music, and they'll be there till like 7:30, and then they're going to go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And then you have this like 6 to 11 crowd, uh-huh. and by like 9 o'clock, there's like crazy. Like, who would think that these people would be dancing together, dancing, and, mm-hmm. and the music is a little different? In many ways, that is one of the things that has helped us feel successful and where we've scaled our expectations is how diverse those groups are and how we try to meet them where they are as well. Some folks won't come to the cidery because we allow kids. Some won't come to the cidery because we allow dogs. That's mm-hmm. okay. Not everybody's going to be happy all the time, but right. we think we're just being true to ourselves. As I remind people, I've got kids, two 12-year-olds. My brother's got grandkids because he's much older. and so we really have tried to craft a place where everybody could feel like they have a place they can come in. And mm-hmm. if we do it right, it will continue to feel like a spot where the community can come and you can just be yourself. You don't have mm-hmm. to like put on airs, and it doesn't matter that the person next to you has, you know, like sailing shoes on while mm-hmm. you have flip-flops or,
right.
you know, it's just come as you are. We really, it's not that we don't care. It's that we just want you to be who you are, and that's enough for us.
Yeah. So what you're telling me is you did make Cheers.
Like you said, that's right. It feels that way. Yeah. It feels that way. Yeah. Norm.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
So if you could tell anybody one thing about Slyclide, like you're like one go-to, oh, I know, like you're anybody's takeaway, they've never tried it before, what would you tell them?
Oh, we are just so easy to get along with.
Yeah.
As a brand, as a cider. Mm-hmm. If you are coming in because you want a 750 ml bottle to take with you to a fancy dinner, you're going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. But if you just want to come and hang out and not have to feel like you talk about the cider the whole time, but instead find out what the heck have you been doing during this pandemic and, you know, how are the kids or where do you think crypto is going? You know, we want, I guess the takeaway is we want Slyclide Cider to be that thing that brings people together, but that people don't feel like they have to obsess about. They can obsess about one another and their lives and the space that they're sharing at that moment. The fact that we can convene you is enough for us.
That's like a great answer. Yeah, I don't think you could have said anything better. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us today.
Sure.
This was great. All right. Bye, everybody.